I'm Don Fierstead on 96.9, and you are listening to KDLO Outdoors.
The Watertown chapter of Ducks Unlimited will be holding a volunteer recruitment and fun shoot on Wednesday, August 30th, at the Wood Sporting Clays northwest of Watertown. The fun shoot will start at 6, followed by brats, beverages, and information regarding Ducks Unlimited and the upcoming fall banquet on September 28th. For more information, contact Andrew at 868-1308 or Gail at 520-3091. The commission is going to review a boat closure petition for Swan Lake that would have a no boating zone from October 20th to December 31st. There will be a meeting September 7th, and that will be Game Fish and Parks at the Ramada in Sioux Falls. Turn and Poachers program is paying off for South Dakota, and the HOTS tip line for your information is 1-888-OVERBAG. There'll be a four-person scramble golf tournament August 19th at Prairie Winds Golf Club in Watertown. It's sponsored by the Isaac Walton League Chapter and a fundraiser for conservation, education, and youth projects. It's an 18-hole, four-person scramble, 9 a.m. shotgun start on the 19th. Contact Doug Elvine for more information at 881-7496. Now we head up to Webster, South Dakota, talking with Dr. Brian Blackwell, biologist out of the Webster Game Fish and Parks. And the lakes north of Webster, anything going on or much fishing pressure in the past week?
Our fishing pressure is down, I would say. You know, just in general, we're just not seeing a number of people fishing across the region. But, you know, the best bite we've had has been on Wabay, continues to be there. Yesterday in the rain, I know there were seven boats out, so still a few people out fishing. Most of those were out of the Conego access. You know, they're catching some nice walleyes. I feel, well, there's a few perch in there. So, yeah, the bite's been pretty fair, I would say, on Wabay. Bitter Lake still has kind of been slow one. There's still a few people catching some fish, but overall, that bite has definitely slowed down in the last couple weeks.
On Wabay Lake, are they still on that by Duck Island, Bresky Bay, and on the north side, or where?
Most of the boats yesterday were about straight out from the Conego access, working an old flooded roadbed. There were six boats on that, working that area anyway.
That would be the old Head Key Pass road, kind of rocky road, wouldn't it be?
Right, yep.
Okay, interesting. Because I think a few years ago I fished that, found fish on it, and I think it was like 20 foot in 21 foot of water.
Yeah, it's fairly deep. I think most, you know, they're fishing, I've heard, from 12 up to, you know, 22, 24 foot of water. A lot of people are fishing on Wabay.
Haven't heard much out of Horseshoe this year or Antelope.
No, you know, Antelope's going to be a tough one to get a boat in. Just aren't seeing much for activity up there. Horseshoe, you know, the access is, you know, you can still get in, but it's getting tougher, definitely. But, yeah, we just don't have the pressure down there like we have had in the past.
And Pickerel, Enemy, Blue Dog?
Yeah, Blue Dog has definitely slowed down. We're just not seeing the people fishing it like, you know, a little month and a half ago. There's lots of food. We were in there doing some electrofishing, getting some fish for our aquarium a few weeks ago. And everywhere we went, there were lots of shiners. So there's plenty of food in there for those fish to eat. I think that's probably what slowed that bite down. Enemy Swim, you know, the bluegill numbers tend to look to be down right now. We're just not seeing, you know, good numbers of bluegills, so that's probably impacted the pressure we've seen up there, as well as, you know, walleye bite hasn't been that great this year. And Pickerel, you know, there are a few people fishing it, but this time of year it just tends not to have as much fishing pressure.
Well, are you still continuing your test netting on lakes?
Yeah, this week we have a crew up on Cattail Kettle, and actually, you know, Cattail, the walleye population is looking really good right now. We haven't had that great of luck in recent years, but boy, this year the netting is showing some nice fish. There's a lot of fish in that 22 to up to 27 inches that we're seeing as far as walleyes go. It looks good. I would definitely consider Cattail one of our better lakes that we've sampled this year. Smaller perch, we're just not seeing many big perch in there, but the walleye population looks good. We're also on Wabay. Wabay is looking pretty good as well. We're seeing, you know, the future looks pretty good on the perch. The walleye numbers are still looking pretty good. Most of those fish are in that 16 to 18 inch bracket, a few smaller ones and a few bigger ones, but they're healthy, they're eating shiners, so they're some of the healthiest fish we've seen in Wabay in a number of years.
I would imagine with the water levels down throughout Day County and up even into Marshall, the Cattail, Kettle, and Roy wouldn't be connected anymore?
No, I don't think there's any water flowing down in there anymore. So, yeah, I know both of them have dropped quite a bit. So, yeah, they're probably pretty much contained within each other.
Dr. Brian Blackwell, biologist out of Webster, South Dakota, thank you. Now we head up to Big Stone Lake on the South Dakota side, talking to Don at Schmidt's Landing. And first of all, the weather week, what have you looked at for total rainfall in the last week, Donna?
Over the weekend and then last night, I'm going to say we're pushing 6 inches of rain right here at Schmidt's Landing. I'm sure there's various other reports around the lake, I think a little bit more north of us. The lake level is definitely up, but no fear of flooding, as I've gotten some phone calls of people concerned about that. But we're definitely in good shape with the lake. The weeds have disappeared. The water level is up. Very, very fishable waters.
I imagine this would definitely cool that water temp maybe by 4 to 8 degrees, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it will cool that temperature down, and that's always a good trigger for those bigger, nicer perch that we see in the fall when the water temperatures start to drop.
Well, any fishermen out this week in the last few days, and how have they fared?
Had a few fishermen out. Not a lot of pressure on the lake because of the weather, but actually the weather was very pleasant. We had overcast skies, very calm winds, made it easy to get out there and work some of those traditional perch spots. One boat did very well in the late afternoon evenings, coming in with multiple perch, a few bluegills. So they were quite happy with their catch. And also were quite pleased at the lack of traffic. They kind of felt they had the lake to themselves.
Well, Don at Schmidt's Landing on Big Stone Lake, thank you.
Thank you. Make the sunshine.
Well, on the phone with us, we have Todd West from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And, boy, it goes by quickly, but it's ready for another banquet. Tell us about it.
Well, this is actually going to be our 25th year in Watertown this year. So we hope have a good banquet. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has been doing a lot in the state of South Dakota that people probably really don't realize. And what they do when they come to our banquet helps to do that. Last year, in 2016, they had $104,000 that they brought back to the state for PAC grants to do with state and Forest Service and stuff. And this year, it was around $85,000. We do other grants, too, for state grants for shooting clubs, building that new outdoor adventure center in Brookings. We gave some money to that. There are different things around the state that we use, and that state grants are usually around $20,000. It comes back into the state that way, too. So we're looking forward to being our 25th year. We hope we have a good turnout so we get more money to use for the state and the PAC grants. So.
Well, Todd, where is it and when is it?
It is August 26th. 2nd Street Station, 5 p.m. The door is open. If anybody does need any tickets or anything, they can sure give me a call at 882-4581.
Saturday, August 26th, 5 p.m. at 2nd Street Station for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation Banquet. Todd West, thank you.
Stay with us. There's more KDLO Outdoors.
Well, now we travel up to the Watertown Game Fish and Parks offices. Conservation Officer Bryce McVicker. And Bryce, right close to town, Dry Lake Florence, Compesca, Pelican, anything going on those lakes?
No, really about the only place I saw any keeper walleye this weekend was on Long Lake north of Henry. A few nice fish there, a couple over 20s and some eaters mixed in. So that was kind of nice to see some fish coming out over there. Goose Lake is still pretty quiet. If you don't get there right away before 6 in the morning and catch some fish, then you're probably not going to catch any. Kempeska and Pelican, I keep thinking with this cooler weather that things are going to get better there, but not a whole lot of action. After dark around Lunkers, guys are picking up some white bass and maybe the occasional walleye, but outside of that, fishing around Coddington County has been pretty quiet this week.
You know, I've really, myself and a lot of people I know, have really struggled to find keeper walleyes on Lake Kempeska this year. It's really strange.
Yeah, but you have been having pretty good catch rates, haven't you? Most fish are just a little bit too small to keep.
Yeah, some days. I mean, it's almost easier some days to catch a keeper perch or crappie than it is a walleye. Surrounding lakes, have you done any traveling in Day, Clark, or Hamlin County?
Yeah, been up to Bitter Lake a couple times this week, and still quite a little bit of fishing pressure up there when the weather's nice. Fishing has tapered off a little bit. That's another place that I really keep thinking is going to take off any day. We saw them catch fish there the whole month of June and most of the month of July. Just kind of in a little lull here, but I expect any day for that to take off. Lake Ponset has been pretty busy. A lot of guys hopeful down there that they're going to get into the perch. The perch really haven't taken off yet. But that's also a bite that we're looking to take off any day here now.
Brood routes, has that survey pretty much wound up now?
It did. It ended on Tuesday this week, so that's all done. The biologist out of the Huron office is compiling all that data, so I would expect a full report from our brood routes here in the next week to 10 days.
You know, the bad thing is it's South Dakota, but we go through cycles, and this cycle has been drought, then been heavy rain, and then a few events of hail, and it just doesn't seem like anything's really in favor of a good pheasant numbers this year, but some years we're still surprised.
Yeah, no, I would have paid anything to be counting anything but pheasants on my pheasant route. I saw tons of geese and tons of deer, but just did not see much in the realm of pheasants. And I guess in my route, I didn't have a whole lot of hail and I didn't have real bad drought conditions. So I expected to see more out of my route. But there's some other outliers there. High predator numbers are something that we're definitely keeping an eye on. And those kind of things are definitely playing in. Lack of habitat and all that stuff just really plays into why we're just not counting as many pheasants as we were 10 years ago.
Well, a big sports fest coming up. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, Saturday, September 9th is our big youth event here in Watertown, the Glacial Lakes Youth Sports Fest, so we're really excited about that. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. It's going to go till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Lunch is going to be provided. The big thing is pre-registration is required by 5 o'clock on September 5th at the Watertown Game, Fish, and Parks office. So anytime, regular business hours, swing by the Game, Fish, and Parks office and get registered for that.
Bryce McVicker, thank you. Now we travel down to the Brookings Game, Fish, and Parks offices, talking to biologist Dave Lucchese, and I guess around Brookings, heading south and a little west, probably not a lot of fishing pressure, but what have you heard?
John Brocher, who's our GIS guy, and I were up on Ponset on Monday, just demoing a tablet that we might use in the future, an application to enter creel survey data, and we talked to a few folks up there, and it's still a lot of 14-inch fish. We did interview one party that had a couple of nice perch, and we did interview one or two that had a walleye or two, but I mean, the action's still good. They're still talking, 30, 40 fish, but just not very many keepers in the mix. Drove by Albert, and that looked slow. There was one boat out there. Talked to a guy who fished Oakwood, East Oakwood, last Friday and picked up two walleyes, then headed over to West Oakwood and didn't do any good. But he did say there were a few other folks out on West Oakwood and said he saw a net come out once. So I think they're picking up a few fish there. And from our survey, those fish are nice, too. A lot of... We saw a lot of fat 16 to 24, 25 inch walleyes in both of those lakes. Sounds like Thompson's hit and miss. Last report I heard was the south end of the lake. But talked to an angler who was out there and said he didn't do any good. But I guess they are getting a few bigger fish in the mix there, a few bigger walleyes in fairly shallow water. So further south, Madison Lakes have been pretty quiet. I think the two reports, I got one off of Brant and one off of Madison, kind of a mixed bag, which is fun, pulling plugs or even pulling live bait, but they're getting, you know, a few white bass, a few smallmouth, a walleye, perch, and occasionally a few crappies. So that's not a bad deal either.
Hey, Dave, have you talked to anybody doing any study on the bait situation or the forage situation out at the river?
You know, I talked to Gino Adams at our regional meeting, and he's sort of our head of aquatics research, and he said the guys were out there seining up on Oahe just within the last week or two, and he said it looks like there was just a banner hatch at Gizzard Shad this year, so those fish have a lot of food. They might be pretty tough to catch when you get that many Gizzard Shad. They've got a lot of food and often can be kind of difficult.
Well, Dave Lucchese, biologist out of the Brookings and Sioux Falls Game, Fish, and Parks offices, thank you. Well, let's travel out now to the Whitlock Bay area. Chuck Krause, a professional guide out there. And Chuck, in the last week, patterns for walleyes or smallmouth bass, what are you seeing out on the water?
Well, the biggest change last week, or this week, I should say, is that the walleyes have gotten smaller and the smallmouth have really turned on. I mean, we really caught a lot of smallies this week. We had one, I think I sent you a picture of one, a little over 5 pounds. And you can get on a spot with those things and catch, I mean, one after another. They're in there pretty good right now. And the walleye bite just kind of tapered off a little bit. We're still catching a few, but they've just gotten very small.
Well, you've got your spots over the years for the smallies, especially the last couple. What do you look for structure or water clarity? What do you look for to find them?
The thing with the smallmouth is they actually kind of come to you. We're catching these smallmouth same areas where we traditionally catch walleye, out on the tips of the points. And, you know, last week we were doing walleyes out deep in that 30-foot, and now it's just loaded with smallmouth. And then when it got overcast and the wind picked up, they'll move up as shallow as 10 to 12 foot. And it don't matter what you use, if you're using a crawler or a minnow or a leech, you know, smallmouth is going to beat the walleye to the bait, you know, 9 out of 10 times. So I think that's the biggest difference. They're just, they've came out of real deep water and moved up, and they're not given the walleye much of a chance to even get to the bait. They're beating them to the bait.
If you clean any to eat, and I know people do you find anything unusual in their stomachs?
No, they're eating the same thing the walleyes are. I mean, you'll see some herring and not much for smelt in them, but you'll see a herring or two. And then some real small minnows. I don't know if they're shad or just regular minnows, but The thing you look for is you see some seagulls out diving down out of the sky, hitting the water, and the smallmouth has got those bait fish pushed up off the bottom towards the top, and the seagulls are picking bait fish up off the, you know, diving out of the sky, eating minnows. So that's kind of a telltale sign right there.
Where are you finding the walleyes now?
Still out anywheres back in the creeks. They're shallow, 10 to 20 foot, but those are smaller fish. And then the bigger fish that we are catching when we do get them are still out around that 30 to 35 out deep out on the main lake. So it's a lot slower bite out on the main lake for big fish. A little bit better back up like areas like Stove Creek or No Name Bay, Parker Pasco, Bull, or Willow. Seems like way back in, there's I don't know if there's been a minnow hatch or what, but it's drawn a lot of smaller walleyes back up in those creeks.
Chuck Cross, professional guide out of the Whitlock Bay area, thank you.
This has been Don Fierstead with KDLO Outdoors. Listen each and every Thursday for all your hunting and fishing information throughout eastern South Dakota, western Minnesota, and out at the Missouri River. KDLO Outdoors, each and every Thursday.